And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, it's Friday, little buckaroos, which means it's time for Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day. And we head into the weekend with four very powerful lessons that will help us think right, say it right, do it right, so that it'll be all right. We open up in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, where the Lord commands his people. What's amazing about this lesson is that if we are obedient to it, it provides confirmation of our connection to Jesus. Oh, come on. Next, our next lesson concerns understanding how to be angry without sinning. Isn't that an interesting concept? You and I must grasp there is such a thing as righteous anger, which is not really the issue. When the Bible instructs us to be angry and do not sin, it also cautions us not to give the devil an opportunity. We'll examine that. And finally, we're going to close out our show this week with a fascinating yet humbling declaration from Jesus. We are all so smart, aren't we? We know what's going on, don't we? We have it all figured out, don't we? We know where the ducks are going next, don't we? We know what's coming, don't we? The only problem with all that thinking is Jesus says, we don't know. Ruh-roh!
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And so much more. Now remember, it's not professional radio, and to prove it's not professional radio, we'll talk to the Papa Smurf of professional radio, our very own Jammin' Jacob. Jammin' Jacob, is the David Spoon Experience professional radio?
No, it is not, David.
You like that reference?
Yes, that's a good one.
Papa Smurf. I like that one. All right, here it is. Not professional radio. Why? Because it's not. What do you mean, why? It isn't. We make so many mistakes, I can't even count them. It doesn't matter. What we do want to know is, how are you doing, and what do you think? How's it going? How can we be a part of it? What can we do to be a blessing? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. For those that might be getting that wrong, david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can call us 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, well, by golly, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Wowzer, talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the weekend. Hello.
Thank you, David. Happy Friday. Happy heading into the weekend.
Thank you, sir. It's been a very interesting week for us here at the station. The last 2 weeks have proved to be very, very interesting. Have they not? Have they not been up at the upper level, upper echelon of Wowzer Bowser?
Interesting and Wowzer Bowser are two, You know, those are two ways to describe it.
That's two very nice, kind ways to say it, right?
Yes, that's good.
Okay, here it is. Here's the bottom line. Why in the universe? Why? I don't know why. Why not? Why would you send an email to us? Why would you text us? Why would you call us? It can be for a praise report. Maybe something has gone on and you know it's from the Lord. I just don't know what to do. I don't share it. It's a good thing to share, is it not? Of course it is, right? It will bless the people that hear it. It will honor God, and it will reinforce it in your own life. Additionally, maybe you've got prayer requests. You got prayer. You got stuff. It's like, I need prayer. It doesn't have to be something bad. I know we typically will think of that as like, we got to get out of this mindset that prayer is a last resort. Okay. First of all, we should be praying through all the process, as the scripture says, pray continually. But within us, we need to recognize God is gracious. You're not trying to snatch the pebble out of his hand. He's a giver. He gave us Jesus. How will he not give us anything else we need? And then additionally, it can be just something on those lines, and we'll pray together. We'll do it the way Jesus set it up in Mark 14:36. We're just going to keep it the way that he set it up. Not even going to change. Abba, Father. Dad, Father, we need your help. You can do anything. All things are possible to you, Jesus said. Everything is available. The doors are open. Here is my request. In his request, he said, take this cup from me. He gave his request afterwards, but then he said, nevertheless, not mine, but thy will be done. Full surrender. That's how we pray. Why? Because it's a good idea. That's why. Jesus did it. There you go. So here's how we think of it. You can have a praise report or a testimony. You can have a prayer request. You can have something along the lines of something that just happened that's really blessed you. We'll get to trivia in a second, but we do have somebody on the line. So let's go ahead and send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
It's Brother Roger again.
Well, hello, Brother Roger again. How art thou?
I'm doing great. I had technical difficulties yesterday, so I couldn't call in on my Thursday.
you're just like us, technical difficulties. I was telling my real good friend on the phone, I said, this is why Noel calls me Magneto, because no matter what electronics are around me, they seem to fall apart.
it's a little scratchy today still.
Yeah, it's supposed to be getting better, so we're hoping that it will all pull together. But the apps are working and the internet's working, and for the most part, my nose has stopped running, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Hey, you know what? What you were just talking about, you keep praying till the breakthrough.
That's right.
You're going to break through this, Brother David.
Yes, yes.
You're just being, it's just a little test. Testing. I call it testing. It's just a little test. All them little foxes trying to spoil the vine, you know.
Yep, that's exactly right.
We're not going to let anything steal our joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when Jesus went to the cross, he did it for the joy of what he was going to win. He's going to win us to the throne room.
That's right. Amen. And you know what? In the throne room, everything is perfect.
Right?
Is that not the place?
I'm ready and willing and able to wait for that day, though.
Yes, exactly.
I am ready, willing, and able, but I will wait for that day.
Yep, and it's better to be able, because if you're not able, then you're Cain, and that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I might do something I'm not supposed to do, so I'm not going to. What was it like raising Cain is a good trivia question.
Yeah. There's another classic there that says, what is it that Eve gave Adam as a walking stick? He gave her a little cane.
You got too many up your sleeve.
I know,
David.
That's the problem, right? And I don't even I wear short sleeve shirts, so that's another problem.
Yeah.
How are you, brother?
I just wanted to catch up with you and tell you that I'm still around. My wife's still around. We're learning every day and how to keep our feet in the foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Every day,
we find a good
foothold and then we stand.
Amen.
You stand on the truth. The truth will set you free.
Amen. And that rock, boy, when you stand on that rock, then the winds and the storms that come against you don't have the strength than they do when you're not on the rock. When you're on that rock, you have the fortitude to endure.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's excellent.
And we keep praying. We keep praying for my wife. We keep praying for the radio ministry. We keep praying for the radio ministry audience. We keep praying for the churches to do a turnaround. The churches need a turnaround and get a little bit backbone and back to God.
Amen.
So I pray for my community churches on a regular basis that they grow, but they grow in the strength of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right. That's right. You don't want to be growing in your own strength because that'll just get ripped apart anyway. So that's a bad that's a bad plan, no matter what.
But anyway, I just wanted to talk to you today because I don't know what happened with my stuff. Everything went haywire. It really doesn't matter. It didn't change the day. The day was still yesterday, and I can't do nothing about yesterday.
Amen.
Only thing I can try to fix today, but it might not work, but if it don't work, oh, well, you know, we just go forward, move forward one day at a time. With Jesus, everything is possible, you know, so we just get there when we get there.
That is right, 100-fold. Nice job. nice comeback for not being there on Thursday. Very nice.
Well, I wish I could change things, but it is what it is.
Let the Lord handle that, because every time we think we could change it, we would change it the way we think we should, and that will turn out to be a disaster. You know what? You can ask Abraham and Sarah about that when they did their little Ishmael deal. It's like, maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe you just wait on the Lord.
Yeah, that's probably why I got a bad hip, because I keep fighting. I don't know if anybody gets that or not.
Yeah. The wrestling with the angel kind of thing? Yeah. We love you, brother. We appreciate you. And everybody's praying for you and for your wife.
I know they're. It's been a journey but I've been through maybe worse. We've been blessed more than that we can ever imagine, though, Brother David, because nobody really knows where I came from. If you would have been in my shoes before Jesus, you would have said, how in the world is that boy still alive? It's just a wonderment that he kept me in this planet until he did. He found me, or I found him. I don't know which way it was, but it was the glorious day that he found me and that I started seeking him. When I started seeking him, that's when the whole thing changed. And never give up on seeking God for anything, any situation, anything you're going through. Scratchy radio station, keep seeking God on it. You'll get through it. all things will work out for the good of those that love the Lord, and I know you guys love the Lord. We'll get through it. The breakthrough is coming.
Amen. The breakthrough is coming. Amen, brother. Good share. That was
endure,
a good share.
Endure until the breakthrough.
Amen.
Yeah. And, it, you know, faith isn't the evidence of what you see. You know, you can't, I can't see what's going on. You know, I don't see this and I don't see that. But, hey, I've got faith to believe. And he gave me that faith, so I'm going to keep believing until I see it.
Amen.
And then when I see it, I'm gonna have my testimony. And we're going to have a testimony.
Amen. All Amen, right. brother.
All right. Love you guys. No trivia today.
That's right. We'll get to it.
All right. We'll see you later.
All right. Bye. God bless you, brother. Bye-bye. All right, be praying for Roger again and his wife. And he's got some great statements he made there. Standing on the rock. You got to be standing on the rock to be stable. The storm comes. Jesus said, you build your house on the sand, it'll wipe you out. That's a bad call. We're going to go real quickly into Jeremiah 31:7. Listen to this text. I think you'll enjoy it. For this is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the chief of the nations. Proclaim. Praise and say, Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, every once in a while you read something and you just, if you can catch it, if you can watch it, if you not everything in Jeremiah is negative. I just want to point that out. This is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, praise, and say. Three things. Proclaim, praise, and say. Proclaim is a statement of faith. A proclamation is a statement of faith. God is great. Praise, that's a statement of thanksgiving. And say it. Say it again and again and again. You know, when you say something, do you know you always hear it technically twice? Why? Two ears, one mouth. Oh, I know it comes in stereo, but it both goes in both ears. You need to, in the Lord, affirm, confirm. You need to make sure that you give the proclamation, the praise, and say it again. Here's the thing. The Lord has done marvelous things, right? Here's what this passage is saying. The Lord has saved me. Praise and thank you, Lord. And I'll say it again. The Lord has saved me. I thank you and I praise you. Say it again. Lord, save your people. Yes, that's the Lord saves us. And you know what he saves us? He saves us from sin. Jesus saved us from a sin and from the penalty of sin. But he also saves you in your circumstance. Your circumstance should not rule over you. Your situation should not be your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. Your situation is subservient, yielding. Look, I know it's difficult and it's frustrating, but it's not bigger than God. Period. Get it? Okay. Take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
With his special guest today, Focus on the Family trauma specialist, Tim Sanford.
People, as they try to sort this out, they go through this, they go through maybe a litany or a list in their mind and try to evaluate, well, you know, is this this and is this this? And what you said right there is the key, that the core of our strength, the core of our ability to go on yet for another day in the midst of what we would consider to be chaos, both socially, politically, and in other realms, is the Lord. I mean, the Lord gives us the ability. Until he blows that trumpet, we are not done.
Exactly. And that's where we come back to, people ask me, well, again, the why questions that people all across the U.S. are asking. And my best theological accurate answer I can give them is, I don't know. I don't stop there. That is an accurate answer. I finish my answer then by saying, here's what I do know.
Excellent.
I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God knew what was going on. I don't know why. Here's what I do know. God is still a loving God. He still is in charge. Here's what I do know.
The David Spoon Experience.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Here is your trivia question. This is a pretty good one. Let's see if you guys can get it. I want you to think about it. Jehu. Jehu? Yes. Jehu instructed whom to be thrown down from a window to be trampled by his horses. This is 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30. Was that Ahab, Jezebel, or Delilah? Ahab, Jezebel, or Delilah? Who, Jehu instructed whom to be thrown down from the window to be trampled by horses? According to 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30 through 33, is it Ahab, Jezebel, or Delilah? That is your question, if you think you have the answer. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Then, if you can't do that, you're welcome to text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Jehu instructed whom to be thrown down from the window to be trampled by his horses? Is it Ahab, Jezebel, or Delilah? 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 30 through 33. In the meantime, we'll do what? Our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day, spend time with God. Make your life better. Not to do it is simply like this. I'm waking up today, and I don't feel like I want to breathe. So therefore, I'll suffer all day. That's what it's like if you don't spend time with God. I'm just saying, that's silly. Why would you do that? Don't do that. Draw closer to the Lord daily. Spend time with the Lord. He loves you, wants to hang out with you. And remember what James 4:8 says, draw near to God. Just told this to somebody today. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He's waiting for you to come and hang. He's ready, just waiting. D, draw closer to the Lord daily, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. I can promise you, as the world gets more divided, until that's that unification through the man of lawlessness, I'm just saying, right now, it's got to be standing firm in the Word of God. I don't care what your political position is. I care what your biblical position is. We think Bible, we vote Bible, we live Bible, because the God of the universe gave that book to us as a gift so we can connect with him. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me or my words, I will be ashamed of you when I come in the Father's glory with the angels. You don't want Jesus being ashamed of you, right? D, draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready.
To serve.
Ready! Waking up going, what? Here am I, Lord. Use me. Send me. Have me talk to somebody, encourage somebody, bless somebody. I'm going to tell you something. When I told you that thing that happened earlier today, I know people are probably thinking it's political, but it really wasn't. I'm driving by. I just finished praying and worshiping. I'm still worshiping the Lord. And as I'm driving by, this guy in this Tesla seemed like he was an older guy, kind of like he almost seemed like he was afraid or something weird. And as I'm driving by, I just know the Lord was like, you know, roll down your window, give him a thumbs up. It's like, okay. So I just did. And he was clapping and waving and just so appreciative. I think that's what the Lord does. He uses us to bless people. I don't know. Maybe he was praying, Lord, give me something that says you're with me. Who knows? But just being willing, right? Being ready. Saying, here am I, use me. D, draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. Here's your trivia question. Jehu instructed whom to be thrown down from the window, be trampled by horses. Out of 2 Kings 9, 30 through 33, was that Ahab, Jezebel, or Delilah? Your only hint, it was a woman. Aha! That makes it, kind of narrows it down, right? All right. Here, listen to this lesson. Okay? Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 through 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. The scripture commands in the Old and the New Testament that there is a righteous anger. Did you know that? Did you know that God gets angry and God is 100% righteous? Just so you can be aware of it, I'm just telling you right now because I'm trying to help you. There's a righteous anger. There's a righteous jealousy. There's even a righteous pride. Pride is bad when it goes against God. But being proud to be a Christian is not a bad thing. God is a jealous God, a righteous jealousness, a righteous anger, a righteous this character and that character. These things can be done with the proper spirit. But it says this, be angry and yet do not sin. So why does it say it that way? Because you can be angry and have that move to the wrong place. You can be angry for the wrong motives. And so we need to check that. And the way that you check it is right there in the verse. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. What do you think that means? This is what it means. It means don't keep it. Oh, this person did this to me. Okay. Well, you might be justified in that, but if you hang on to that anger, it will change from anger to bitter, and we don't want any roots of bitterness in us. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And then it tells you why. And do not give the devil an opportunity. We can be angry and not sin, but if we go down, that spiral down, and we let the sun set and we keep the anger, if we let it linger and stick around with us and hang around with us and be a part of us, we are giving the enemy an opportunity to exploit, taking it too far, going in the wrong direction, hanging on it too long. Some of us have held on to anger much too long. I'll give it props and credits if you just think about what Brother Roger said. You know what? You can't do anything about that because that was then. don't be angry, because that anger will just create problems for you. It's one thing to be righteously angry. It's another thing to stay and seethe in that anger. Don't do that. If God did that, he wouldn't have, after the earth was terminated by water, he wouldn't have saved Noah. He wouldn't have redone it. He wouldn't have, it never would have. It's like if God just seethed in it, there'd have been no opportunity for redemption. But don't you know, even the thief on the cross had an opportunity because of the graciousness and the kindness of God. Don't stay angry. It'll just hurt you. It's not even sin to be angry. If you hang on to it, it'll hang on to you. And we're being told, don't do that. That's a bad plan. Okay, back to the trivia question. Straightforward. Jehu instructed whom to be thrown down from a window to be trampled by his horses. Was it Ahab, Jezebel, or Delilah? And then I told you it was a woman. It was, in fact, Jezebel. She's the one that happened to. Guess it does not pay to be wicked, does it? All right, we'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break, don't go anywhere. You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know, a little.
Tell me the show's all about you.
Well, this segment is.
Okay.
Not about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. Well, that's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in Scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And then it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. At God's instruction, Noah sealed the ark inside and out with what to make it airtight? Was it pitch, animal soap, or Elmer's glue? pitch, animal soap, or Elmer's glue. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 through 14. Joanne and Cordelia nailing that before I even finished the question. Very nice, ladies. At God's instruction, Noah sealed the ark inside and out with what to make it watertight? Was it pitch, animal soap, or Elmer's glue? Your answer, by the way, Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 14, if you think you know, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483, or send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. So, going to send you up to the website. I'm not even going to make a big deal about it. If you can give, we'd really appreciate it because we live off of those offerings. The ministry continues by the people's giving. If it doesn't continue, then we'll stop doing it. I can't do anything about it. We've already maxed out all of our credit, so the max says we can't do any more than we've done. It is all in the hands of the people, but of course, in the hands of the Lord, and we trust He's got a great plan. If you can't give, don't worry, but you can pray. And we ask you to do that. Check out all that stuff on our website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
That's so funny that we said that, right? That's hilarious that you said
timing.
That. Perfect timing. We did not plan that, by the way. I don't want anybody to think we did. So the first sound we had was like super, super happy, super, super fun. And there was, oh, it's not anything like Jaws. And then there's Jaws. Jennifer does that without us knowing. It's just like, it's just amazing, right? Is that hilarious?
Yeah, these are numbered, so they don't say what they are.
Just
click it and yeah.
That's great. All right, so before we move any further, let's do this. Quite simply, God gave instruction to Noah to seal the ark inside and out. What did he use to make it airtight? Pitch, animal soap, or Elmer's glue? Of course, this referenced Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 14. But before we get into the history, I have to share a joke that came from our very own Stephen. Stephen calls in. He always says brilliant. Yes, Stephen, I said brilliant. Answers, ways to say things. He sent a joke. Are you ready for this joke? I think it's going to get a mega applause if we had a mega applause button. Now, I'm not sure you're all going to share this in your Bible study, but you could if they were a pretty okie-dokie group. What happens if you don't pay the exorcist? What happens if you don't pay the exorcist? You get repossessed. Get it? You get repossessed. Oh, that's funny. Come on. That is a good one, right? I'm glad that Jacob did what he did. I thought that was a good one. Isn't that funny? What happens? I told them
that was a good one.
I mean, Noel was like laughing. All right. So it's a joke, people. It's a joke. Relax, okay? If you don't think God is funny, buy a mirror. What did God instruct Noah to seal the ark with inside and out that made it watertight? Was it pitch, animal soap, or Elmer's glue? Your reference point is Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 14. And now we'll do a little history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
die. Keep this super easy. I'm just going to do it really fast. Today's National Flower Day, which is great for my wife since that's what she does. You know what I'm saying? Okay. She is a floral manager. Number two, it's National French Bread Day. I don't care about the country. I care about the bread. That's all I'm trying to say. And French bread is great. Isn't that great? Do you like French bread? It's wonderful.
Yes, yes, I do. Yep.
Okay. And then last but not least, again for my wife, it's National Crunchy Taco Day. Not regular taco, just, you know, I'm just saying, crunchy taco.
So that's the question. Do you prefer crunchy tacos or soft tacos?
Crunchy. Actually, I prefer crunchy. Let's see. She likes crunchy and soft. I like crunchy. I like soft every once. But see, to me, a soft taco is like a burrito. So I have a hard time making that distinguishment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. It does.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just right.
I love both. It's a taco. You can't go wrong with a taco.
How can you go bad with a taco?
I think I eat soft tacos more, but I do love crunchy tacos as well.
Yeah. You gotta love that stuff. All right, let's get into the test. So, the trivia question. Now, don't get offended, people, when I'm telling goofy jokes. People are like, oh, relax. At God's instruction, Noah sealed the ark inside and out with what to make it watertight? Was that pitch, animal soap, or was that Elmer's glue? Your reference, Genesis 6:13-14. They're having a coronary that I did that joke. All right, here's something I want to do. Ready? All right, ready? Listen. 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, why is that important? What does that mean, like a roaring lion? Have you considered that? Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Why is that important? Do you know that one of the ways that a lion gets to its prey is it roars. Rawr! And that scares the prey. And it almost, when people are scared, they many times become immobile. And what the devil does in tactic, and we're told to be on alert, to be ready, right, is he prowls, he's looking for a place, and then when he finds a place, he's roaring to the point where he's trying to instill fear, so that he can pounce. And we need to be aware that the enemy does this tactic. What he does is he throws up in front of us, roar, like, oh my goodness, look at this. And it's something that's oftentimes, now there's times where he comes in and it's very stealth and very quiet and very sneaky, right? But there's this other part that Satan uses that it's just broad, it's loud, it's obnoxious even. And I'm not talking about just a loud guy on a radio. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, you get some the letter from this, or you get a person says this, and it's just absolutely over the top. And you're like, what? What happened? So yesterday, or not yesterday, on Wednesday, was it Wednesday? No, it was Tuesday. Noelle and I are in the house, and we're cooking a pizza in the oven, right? Shouldn't be too complex, right? Okay. So Noelle hits the timer on the microwave, and we're in the other room, in the bedroom. And all of a sudden we hear, dee, 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 dee. We come running out, and the microwave is burst of flame. And I mean flames coming out of the microwave like crazy. And is there a microwave? And it's like, I'm telling you, it's like a barbecue in our microwave, in the house, which has wooden cabinets right above it and everything. And the noise, it's going crazy. Everything's going bad. And it's like, oh my gosh. And initially when it happened, we were stunned. First of all, it's not every day you walk into your kitchen and you see the microwave on fire. I don't know if you know that or not, but typically that's not how your microwave works. And then initially we're like, okay. And then you have to figure out what to do. And there's always whenever there's a panic, whenever there's a fearfulness, there's like a stutter in it, and you're not even sure what you're supposed to do. So it's like, okay, we got to put out the fire, but we also got to stop the do 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 do. So it's like that's all happening at one time. So Noelle grabs a rag and she's trying to wave it in front of the fire thing where, you know, detects smoke detector. And then I'm opening up the microwave, and I've got my hands, I've wrapped them in water towels, and I'm dampening the microwave and putting the fire out. And all this is going on. And then when I got the fire out and she's sitting there wiping the thing, guess what? It was still going, doo, 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 doo. And it turns out that the fire alarm was from the alarm system and not the smoke detector, although that was working too. And then it took us a while to figure it out. And it's almost like when there's this unbelievable noise and it catches you off guard, there's a little bit of a freak out. That's what the enemy tries to do. That's a perfect example. Now, I will tell you that even though there was a fire, by the grace of God, we were able to put the fire out pretty rapidly. We were able to get the alarm to stop making the noise. We got the smoke alarm to start making the noise. We pulled everything together, kind of cleaned it up, and then we started to assess what had happened. And essentially, it caught on fire. Instead of putting the timer on, Noelle had actually put the microwave on. But the issue was the full and total damage was the inside of the microwave box was really dark, and it was smoky, but in about 10 minutes, there was no more problems. And we you know, talked with the owner of the house, already got everything arranged, all done within 10 minutes, okay? But at the freakout point, we didn't hold to being calm. We responded initially with, you know, a lot of anxiety, and that gave the devil the opportunity to get us more freaked out than we needed to be. And ironically, the end result was it was nothing. It was a fire, but it wasn't that big a deal. It was contained. Everything was fine. But what I'm trying to say is the devil will try and throw at you the loudness of it all. So you go, And that's a tactic the enemy uses. And here's my response to that. We need to be alert, because he's trying to do that in circumstances we face. You've probably had this happen where you've opened up a piece of mail and said, oh no, oh no. That's what the enemy's trying to get us to do. But he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. And we don't have to freak out. We can walk in peace and we can be calm and encouraged because God walks with us. My encouragement to you is to freak out less than I did. Freak out less than Noel did. Be calm. The Lord is with you. Even if you don't know how it's all going to turn out, God is still with you. Okay? Never abandon you. Never forsake you. Get it? Cool. All right. For Noah, our good buddy, what did the Lord command him to use to make everything waterproof or watertight? Was that, in fact, pitch, animal soap, or Elmer's glue? Elmer's glue wasn't around then, thank you. It was pitch. And that's from Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 through 14. Take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, this is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10 through 12. 1 Samuel 23, 10 through 12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23, 10 through 12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him. And he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. We only got about 5 minutes left, and I have this absolutely awesome teach that I want to use. So I'm going to close the week on this, but bear with me. This is great. The title of this DDD is called Not Getting It. Not Getting It. John chapter 13, verses 3 through 7. Jesus knew that the Father had delivered all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the supper, laid aside his outer garments, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel that was around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. I just love this text. Love it, love it. Jesus knew. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had delivered all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Jesus knew he was on a mission. He knew it. He knew he came from and was returning to. He knew what was going on around him. He knew what was about to take place. He's serving the disciples, setting the example. We know as the story goes on, he tells them, I have washed your feet. You ought to do that for one another. It's about serving one another in the most humble, honest capacity. It's not about being a superstar. It's about being a super servant. And Jesus is illustrating this. And then he gets to Simon Peter. And you know, Peter, he has just got that one spirit where he's just like, what about this? What about this? And he's always like kind of bouncing into things. And so he's like, you're going to do this? And look at what Jesus says and listen to this lesson. This lesson can help you and I face any situation. Jesus said, you do not realize. You do not get it. You are not getting it. Now. You don't get it now. You don't understand exactly what I'm doing right now. You don't know what's going on yet. You do not realize now what I am doing. And in our lives, God is doing things, and I'm just going to say this straight out. It's not even prophetic. It's just absolutely true. Jesus is doing things in our life. We do not get it. We do not understand. You do not realize now what I am doing. But later, he's telling Peter and the apostles, you guys don't get what's going on right this second. You're going to learn. You're going to understand. You're going to grow in it. You're going to move around in it. You're going to learn. You're going to become mature through it. And you will understand, but not now, because you don't get it, because it's past you right now. But you will understand at the right time and at the right way. And Jesus also said this, I have told you these things ahead of time, so that when they come to pass, you may believe, indicating that many of us wouldn't even be believing until we saw some of those things coming to pass. God is doing things in your life right now. You do not realize. You do not know. But later, Jesus said, you will understand. That's how it is for many of us. God is doing stuff and we're like, what? And we don't always understand what he's doing now. But we will. Because he will make it known to us when we're ready to understand. So we trust him. Right? Okay, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. 72 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.